This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we talk with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR news contributor Cassie McDuff and review a few of the big news stories from the past week around the Inland Empire. Good morning and Happy New Year, Cassie.
Happy New Year, Ken.
Let's start out with a story that we dealt with when last we spoke in 2018. A lawsuit has been filed challenging the appointment of the new San Bernardino County supervisor, the replacement that the Board of Supervisors picked to fill the seat of James Ramos.
And as we talked about already, there had been a complaint that the supervisors had violated the Brown Act. That's the act that requires public bodies like elected officials, like the Board of Supervisors, to conduct all their business in public. The lawsuit was filed by IE United. That's a group that the Press Enterprise describes as a coalition of community groups, community activists, whose purpose is to get a more diverse representation among elected officials. And, you know, the complaint here was that the Board of Supervisors, all of their finalists were white Republicans. The problem seems to be that the Board of Supervisors, instead of interviewing all 48 applicants, culled the list over the weekend in private, separately. Each supervisor came up with a list of their top 10, and then they merged those lists to come up with the 13 that did get interviews. This group says it would only be fair to interview all 48 people before making a decision, before making a choice.
And this is going to go to a San Bernardino County court?
Well, that should be the venue. You know, whether the county would challenge that venue, I don't know. I think that's probably unlikely. But meanwhile, that does not affect the appointment of Dawn Rowe. She will continue to serve. A court hearing has not been scheduled until early March.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask what the status of the seat is. So she's just going to serve until a decision comes down on this then, huh?
Yeah, this does not affect that appointment at this point. They're challenging the appointment, but until then it stands.
Okay. Next, another political item. A particular inland member of Congress is going to have a leadership role in the new Democratic Majority Congress.
That's right. Pete Aguilar, who's now just been elected to his third term, will be a chief deputy whip. That means he's going to have a leadership position, which is kind of unusual for someone who's relatively new to Congress. Doesn't have a lot of seniority, but this will be the first time that Aguilar, who's a former Redlands mayor and a Democrat, will serve in a Democratic majority Congress. Now, the whip, we often hear about the whip. The whip is supposed to keep track of how many votes there are in favor of and against legislation so that the majority can get its votes lined up and make sure that its legislation passes.
So you'd assume that the deputy whips go around and help?
Right. But it sounds like Aguilar also hopes to help shape legislation by, he says, acting as a sounding board for folks as legislation is developed.
Mm-hmm. Cassie, you said he doesn't have a lot of seniority, but, you know, there are a whole bunch of new people there. So actually, he might have more seniority, relatively speaking, than a third term congressman might otherwise have, because they have, what, those 40 new members. And so his seniority was bumped up there a little bit.
Well, and he's been on a leadership track, I think, since he was elected to Congress.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
You know, and the question, of course, Ken, is even if the Democrats in the House pass legislation, will they get the votes in the Republican dominated Senate and will the president sign it?
Right. Still, it's got to be a little thrilling for someone who's never been in the majority to all of a sudden not just be in the majority, but now have a little bit of a leadership position.
And certainly it gives the Inland Empire a point of pride.
Okay. And finally, this headline, Cassie, Amtrak offers severance to workers at closing office. Congress gets involved. What's the update on the Amtrak call center?
Well, you'll remember that Amtrak announced in November that it's going to close the Riverside Reservation Center. It's been there for better part of a decade, I think it is.
With hundreds of employees.
Yeah, 550 workers, that it was going to close that office. It's offering the workers to transfer to Philadelphia. If they want to continue working at a call center, it'll be the only other call center, it sounds like, that Amtrak has, but it wasn't clear what was going to be offered to employees to relocate. Now there's been a negotiation between the union that represents most of those workers, the Transportation Communications Union, and Amtrak, and they came up with a $15,000 allowance for relocation if people want to move to the East Coast, or a one-time severance payment of $10,000. Not a lot of money when you are losing your job.
Yeah, yeah. And what did Congress do?
Well, 40 members of the state's congressional caucus and both U.S. senators signed letters urging Amtrak to keep or extend the Riverside jobs. And there was even a rally held 2 weeks ago at Riverside City Hall, but these did not seem to affect Amtrak's plans at all.
Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Cassie McDuff is a longtime Inland Empire journalist and a regular Friday morning contributor to 91.9 KVCR. You can hear Cassie's segments at our website, kvcrnews.org. The segment is made possible by the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers.